As a man, finding a great pair of pants feels harder than it should. Some look sharp but feel stiff. Others are comfortable but wrinkle, stain, or lose their shape by noon. And if you're working, traveling, or constantly on the move, most pants just cannot keep up. That's where Jack Archer comes in.
JackArcher.com delivers one pair of pants designed for real life. Whether it's golf with the guys or date night with someone special, these pants will keep you comfortable and looking polished wherever the day takes you.
That's right, Mark. The Jack Archer Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built to hold its shape all day. With customizable fit options and multiple colors, these are the one pair of pants you'll want to wear every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
As the school year winds down and summer plans start to take shape, it's easy for learning to slip into the background. But it doesn't have to. With IXL, keeping your child's skills sharp is simple, and it only takes a few minutes a day. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building confidence in math, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing key science concepts, IXL makes learning clear and engaging. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL uses personalized interactive content that adapts to your child's level and pace, so they're always learning exactly what they need. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. It's an easy way to keep learning on track now, through the summer and into the next school year. With IXL, make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Ready to soundtrack your summer? With Red Bull Summer All Day Play, you choose a playlist that fits your summer vibe the best. Are you a festival fanatic, a deep end DJ, a road dog, or a trail mixer? Just add a song to your chosen playlist and put your summer on track. Red Bull Summer All Day Play. Red Bull gives you wings. Visit redbull.com/brightsummerahead to learn more. See you this summer.
All right, strap on your bibs because it's about to get messy with this edition of Bib Notes, a.k.a. Baseballs and Play Tessie, a.k.a. Play Tessie Isn't Boring, a.k.a. Boring Isn't Tessie Play. You know the drill. Sammy's here, Pat's here. Get your Baseballs and Boring merch at bbisn'tboring.com. Subscribe to Baseballs and Boring wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to hear more of us, we do the Play Tessie podcast. We drop multiple Red Sox podcasts every single week, so you can find us, Play Tessie, wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, on the socials. You know the drill. Today we're talking injuries. I feel like the last week we talked firings. The week before we talked about underperforming teams. Now we're talking injuries. It's been a lot of negative bib notes lately. A lot of negative themed bib notes. Sammy's here, Pat's here. Guys, are we too negative on this show?
We're a bunch of sad boys right now. Maybe it's because we're Red Sox guys and we've been watching sad baseball, so our brains just go, like, when we want to talk a national topic, we're just automatically sad. But even that wouldn't make sense because the Red Sox just swept Detroit. So maybe we're just all just organically negative.
Yeah, I think it plays in a little bit too, because if you look at the American League, everybody sucks except the Yankees and the Rays. The NL, the Braves are putting together one of the more quiet, incredible starts to a season. The Dodgers are the Dodgers. The Padres are good. Like, we're just going off storylines. And so far, they've been negative. There's nothing we can do to – we can't control it.
Yeah, like, if there were guys that got – I mean, when guys got contract extensions, the rookies got contract extensions, we talked about that. We talked about our favorite rookies. Maybe that was just beginning of season optimism.
Yeah, true. We can be positive, but not today.
Yeah, I mean, the truth of the matter is when the best pitcher in the sport is out for 2 to 3 months, we'll see. And when a team like the Astros that's already, I mean, they're in a tough spot with or without Carlos Correa, and that dude's just taking BP in the batting cage and he snaps his ankle, snaps a tendon in his ankle, just goes down, and there's his season. And Carlos Correa, I mean, it's not just an important player in the Astros. He's an important figure in the last decade of baseball history. This is a huge name here. These are two huge names that are missing big time. And I want to start with Skubal, because and I guess I should kick it to Pat first, because this is our resident doctor on Play Tessie and Bib Notes. The injury or the surgery was they removed loose bodies from his elbow, and they talk about it like it's this straight up basic procedure, not a huge deal, but they say he's going to miss 2 to 3 months. When you hear he's going to remove or he's going to get loose bodies removed from his elbow, for people who have no earthly idea what that means, what can you tell them about that procedure?
Yeah. So loose body is, it's kind of a vague term. Typically it's like fragments of bone and things like that, which, so overhead, this is going to get real nerdy. So overhead throwing is not an anatomically correct motion. That's why baseball players get Tommy John, softball players can throw 300 pitches. It's just the way our bodies are constructed. Overhead throwing is not something that's, you know, standard. So you're going to run into a little bit of issues, whether it be UCL, inflammation, discomfort, or loose bodies. So loose bodies, they basically go in, they take out everything that's kind of floating around, kicking around, that can cause, you know, irritation, especially, like, it's the best way to think of it is like if you have like a rock in your shoe. I think that's the best way to think about it. So you have these loose bodies kind of kicking around your elbow. It's not comfortable. It can irritate, you know, tendons and ligaments and all that kind of stuff. So basically what they go in, what they do is they go in, they take out all the fragments, and it's kind of like a start from scratch. It's not nearly nothing remotely close to like Tommy John or anything like that. It is a pretty, overall, like a pretty straightforward, simple procedure, but you do have to allot for time for healing of the tissue, just from where they go in. There's a whole ramp back up, see how you respond. Like, it's more of like a ramp up than it is like a full blown, like, this is a 3 month recovery, then you can throw a baseball kind of thing. It's just kind of like the natural course of recovery for it. It's a little bit longer than I'm sure Tigers fans and really baseball fans, because baseball is better when Tarek Skubal's pitching. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what's going on with Skubal.
Yeah. You look at it, I feel like there's three different approaches to take when you're talking about it. There's, what does it mean for the Tigers season? What does it mean for his trade value if their season doesn't go according to plan and they've been kind of hovering around 500 most of the season? And then third, what does it mean for his free agency? And Pat, I want to start with you on that one first, just because you talk about it really is more of a time missed. It's not like he got Tommy John here. It's not a life-changing procedure here. So obviously he's going to be recovered from this by the time his free agency hits. Is a surgery like this something that will give teams pause when they evaluate whether or not they want to give this guy $300-400 million?
I think yes and no. I don't think it directly correlates to the surgery at all. Long-term outlook, it's pretty clean cut. It's nothing like super concerning long term. But also, if you're a team like, we'll say the Mets, the Dodgers, the Yankees, whoever it may be, who's, you know, looking to invest in school, will give him that $300-500 million. He's a guy who next year, by the opening day, he'll be 30. Again, like, I'm not super concerned on the outlook, but it's time missed in his contract year. But the one thing that's going to work really well in his favor is his track record. His track record's phenomenal. We saw what happened with DeGrom. DeGrom had a super spotty injury history, and then he got, I think it was like, what, 3 years, 135 or something crazy from the Rangers. So, I mean, even if teams have like worries about it, he's still going to get his money. He's still going to get the massive contract. I don't think it's going to give teams a ton of pause. I think it's going to be, you know, maybe a little bit more strenuous in terms of medicals. Once those talks advance a little bit, I think they'll look at his elbow a little bit more than, yeah, I mean, I'm sure whether it be, you know, Ranger Suarez, whatever big money contract is being signed, obviously they're taking the physicals very serious, but it'll be, you know, something to look at to see how his medicals come back. But in terms of, you know, his free agency outlook, what he's going to get, I think the surgery itself, I don't think has an effect on it. And I think I'd be pretty shocked if the time he missed this year takes away any money from what he's done the last 2 years.
So DeGrom got 5 years, 185 with the Rangers. He was the best pitcher in the world. And it's like, if anyone else, and he was also a little bit older. I think he was like 35.
But yeah. still, he had a long, long history of injuries too.
Yeah,
yes.
Scooble, I have Scooble's right here. He is a Tommy John guy, believe it or not. But it was when he was in college. Yeah, 10 years ago.
Sammy, do you? I want to say the first 2 years of his career, he missed a bunch of time. Do I have that right?
He had flexor tendon surgery in 22. He missed the end of 2022, and then he returned in the middle of 2023. So that might be what you're thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been the last 2 years, like obviously the pitching is amazing, yeah. but he's been on the field, which is, we'll get to it later in the show. The amount of injuries to pitchers right now is completely insane. I have a hard time not believing that he would lose at least a little bit of money off the deal, just because, like you said, Pat, it's time missed and teams are just going to, even if they're not concerned about the long-term outlook, it's so much money we're talking here. I bet they're going to use that against them. And I bet every team's going to do that other than maybe the Dodgers. The Dodgers might be the one team to say, hey, we don't care. We'll give you what you're worth. But we're so far out from that. If he comes back and pitches the last 3 months of the season, or even 2 months, last 2 months of the season, and he's looking like Tarek Skubal, maybe it won't have an impact. But I just can't envision a world where he gets the same contract that he would have gotten had he stayed healthy for the full 2026 season.
So I think the best comp for it is DeGrom. So DeGrom, Gordo, you said he got what, 5 for 185? That's what the numbers were?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing with DeGrom was he was going into his age 35 season. So he was 5 years older than Skubal.
Right.
His last 3 years with the Mets, he started 12 games, 15 games, 11 games.
That's not this.
And that he was, oh God, he was 1, 2, 3. He was 3 years removed from his most recent Cy Young. So Skubal's 5 years younger, just as dominant going into, you know, contract year as DeGrom was. He's younger. And then the other thing too is this isn't a guy who's going to have a small market. Like anyone who can afford him is going to be in on him. And the bidding's going to get up no matter what. I think if a team walks to the table and says, you know what, we'll give you 10 for 350, the next team's going to walk up and say, we'll give you 10 for 380. I think it's going to naturally get up to where it goes.
That's the thing is, I in my head, I want to say that it all, because all it really does, because if he comes back and he pitches well, there's no reason to say, well, you had this really standard procedure and hold it against him because he's clearly back from it. He's clearly good. If he pitches well, then that'll be what it is. But what it does do is create this doubt, because teams will see, dang, like, yeah, even Tarek Skubal, like this all-time pitcher, all of these guys, all pitchers come with risk. If you invest in a long-term deal with Tarek Skubal, there's a good chance that you're going to lose one of those years. If you give him 8, 9, 10 years, one of those years will be lost at some point to Tommy John. That's just how these long-term deals with pitchers work. That said, I want to say that, but then you're going to have all of the biggest market teams in on him. The Mets and the Dodgers, most notably, will be in on him. And if you want to have that doubt creep in and impact your offer, you're going to lose the player. So you're not going to be able to do it.
Here's some guys who have had the same surgery, just for reference. So Skubal, Edwin Diaz, Hunter Green, Spencer Schwellenbach, Carlos Rodon, Strasburg, Carlos Carrasco, Yu Darvish. So not like super common, but not uncommon. Nobody seems too pressed about the Skubal. It's like the opposite of what we're going to talk about next with Carlos Correa, which is dire. This seems very much like, okay, yeah, keep an eye on it, but probably not a big deal. We'll see how he looks when he comes back this year.
Right. And to me, the conversation to have is much less about how is it going to impact his free agency, and it's more the other stuff I said, which is how is it going to impact the Tigers season? This is a rotation that is decimated at this point. They're losing everybody in this rotation. Casey Mize, Justin Verlander, Framber Valdez is now suspended. Jack Flaherty has not pitched well this year. Reese Olson gone. Jackson Job not there. There's a lot going on there. And the Tigers hovering around 500, just got swept by the Red Sox. Not a good place to be. And yeah, I do think they're going to have trouble staying in this thing. Like 2 to 3 months, if he's going to be out 2 to 3 months, you know what happens in 2 to 3 months? The damn trade, this is when you're going to have to make your decision about whether or not you're keeping this guy and making a run for the playoffs and trying to re-sign him.
Yeah. So, and that's every 5 days you're losing a game that you should consider. This is a Scooble game. We'll win this game. That adds up quickly.
And not for nothing, he goes six, seven, eight innings every single start, and that saves your bullpen. And Tigers bullpen, like that, especially with Kenley Jansen in there, you need to get that guy rest. We, as Red Sox guys, we know the Kenley Jansen experience. You got to keep that guy fresh. And there's always these little things that pop up, and your bullpen's short sometimes. And him going deep into games helps that, but you're not going to have that. You're going to be very reliant on Framber Valdez, who just got himself thrown out of a game in the fifth inning. I think it was the fifth inning. He completed four. So my next question for you guys is, how do you think it's going to impact his trade value? Like, if he's just getting back and it's the trade deadline, is there going to be, I mean, some of these, like the Tigers demands in the off season for Scooble were inordinate.
As they should have been. Yeah. It's such a tough question. Naturally, I would say, it's going to affect his trade value, 'cause we're talking in season. But Tarek Skubal is such an outlier case. He's so much better than any pitcher that's been available at the deadline. Like, I can't even think of anyone who comes close in recent years. So my answer is yes, I do think it will negatively impact his trade value, but this is not a strong take for me. If I'm wrong on this and he goes for something insane, I'm not going to be shocked about it.
I think it will a little bit, because it's something that you're going to have to be a little bit mindful of for the rest of the season. And then on top of that, Scooble's a Boris guy, so he's not going to sign anything, you know, pre-free agency. And the haul that it would take to pry Scooble away from Detroit, you're giving that up knowing you're getting sold off of surgery for maybe 2 months before he hits the market. I don't think anyone's going to be comfortable paying that. And it's Tarek Skubal. But also at the same time, there's a little bit of risk to it. And if you're giving up that ransom, I don't know.
Yeah, that's, to me, I think it dramatically impacts his trade value. Like, if I'm a team, I don't know how you could justify giving up multiple studs for what you know will be just a couple of months, because he's as you said, a Boris guy. He's going to go for top dollar. If you're any team besides the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, yeah, I'm sorry, you're probably not keeping the guy. And now, best case scenario, Scooble's back to make, what, three starts before the deadline? Three starts where he probably will be on a pitch count. And yeah, there's just going to be no way you can be totally sure of what you're getting. And you're gonna sink significant pieces of your future or potential pieces for a trade down the line in the offseason for 2 months of a guy that you don't even know if you can count on. Like, that's why you're paying up for Scooble, is because you know you can count on him. But now that factors out the window. I just don't know how you can justify it. So I think it's going to end up, regardless of where the Tigers' record is, I think it's going to end with him sticking with the Tigers, because I just don't think they're going to get offers that are going to be anywhere close to tempting enough to trade this guy. They'll sooner try to re-sign him. They'll probably fail, but they'll get the qualifying offer. We'll call it a disaster. We'll all say they should have traded him in the offseason. They should have traded him in the offseason, where I was saying that at least before the injury. And now I think it's
more. What? Really? You thought that? They were a playoff team. No, I thought it would have been gross if they traded him. Like, you just made the playoffs, really good team. You got young guys coming up. I thought it was the right move to keep him. Like, you want to win. You want to have a chance to win the World Series. But I hear what you're saying. It's such a weird case. It's so hard to talk about this with Scooble, just because, like I said, he's in the ultimate outlier example. He is so much better than anyone else who's going to be available at the deadline. And I think if he puts together, even if it's two starts after he comes back, there's going to be some team that talks themselves into paying some crazy, crazy price. But then again, if it's only one start or none, then drastic. Then it's drastic. It's a big time wait and see. I don't want to be cop out guy over here, but like, a lot depends on how he looks when he comes back quickly.
If you're listening to this podcast, think about your team and think about your team's two best prospects. Would you, the listener, trade that for Tarek Skubal, for 2 months of Tarek Skubal, when you don't even know for sure if he's going to stay healthy or if you can rely on him because he's only made a couple of starts coming off of surgery? Me, as a Red Sox guy, I think about the Red Sox two top prospects. Would I trade Franklin Arias and Anthony Ianson, or Franklin Arias and Peyton Tolley, or whatever, to get Tarek Skubal? No. For those 2 months, no. It's not even a debate for me.
No, you're not confident enough in the sum of the parts.
And they could be asking more. So, yeah, we'll see where it goes. When he comes back is going to be huge. The Tigers need him to get back early July. I mean, what, we're early May, so to May through June, early July is best case scenario. Not just for potential trade value, but for potential to get your season where you want it to be. To get to the playoffs, you need Tarek Skubal in that rotation for as long as possible. So hopefully he gets there. The other one, Carlos Correa. I feel like there's it's a little bit less of a discussion here because Carlos Correa was never getting traded again. He's not a free agent coming up. The Astros were probably not going to be a playoff team with Carlos Correa. It sucks that he's out. I feel like the discussion to have here is, I feel like we're just jumping a little bit earlier into where we probably were going to be in a month or two anyway, which is the Astros as potential sellers here. Because to me, yes. They already were not looking like a playoff team. It doesn't look like they have the pitching to be a playoff team, and now you lose your obvious leader, one of your best offensive players. You already didn't have enough. And now, I mean, the only team they can beat is the Red Sox. They're not beating anyone else. They're not a good team.
No, it feels like a lost season for them, for Houston. Here's what they're dealing with right now. So they're missing Carlos Correa, like you just mentioned. Christian Javier is hurt. Jeremy Pena's Josh Hader's on a rehab assignment, having just been hurt. Yainer Diaz is hurt. Tatsuya Imai is on a rehab assignment, and he looks like a disaster, complete disaster, on top of them already having a very bad record and no semblance of a farm. They're in a really bad spot, and that's why when we talk about should they move pieces like Yordan Alvarez, it's not that crazy. And you might be listening, like, why would the Astros trade under team control through 2028? That's a valuable asset. And for a team that doesn't have a super bright present or future, that's the type of team that has to be thinking about making tough decisions like that, as crazy as it sounds. And we see great players get traded fairly often nowadays. Like Gordo said, we're all Red Sox guys. We live through Rafael Devers getting traded. We live through Mookie Betts being traded. It happens. So antennas are up for Astros fire sale. It could happen.
Yeah. And the other thing too, is you alluded to it, Sammy, it's right now. And even when everybody's healthy, I don't think they're a playoff team. The other part of this is they have a lot of guys getting, you know, relatively close-ish to free agency with zero farm system, like none. So everyone's going to point to Yordan Alvarez because he's a free agent after 2028, which will be after his age 31 season. So Yordan's getting close. There's another really good player who's even closer, and it's Jeremy Pena. Jeremy Pena's a free agent after next season. And I know he's injured. He hasn't played a lot. But that's also a guy who, kind of the inverse of Skubal, yeah, you're going to give up a ransom for a guy who's been hurt for a chunk of the year, but you also get another year from him. So if you're the Astros and you can flip, if they truly go full-blown fire sale, just blow it up. Jeremy Pena gets you a great return. Yordan gets you an absolute haul. Another guy who's having a great year who would absolutely have a market is Christian Walker. Christian Walker, veteran, leader of the clubhouse. He went to the World Series with the Diamondbacks. So far this year, he's hitting over 300. He's got 9 home runs, and he's still a Gold Glove caliber glove over at first base.
Revitalized his trade value because they couldn't move him in the offseason. They tried.
Also, oh my God, yeah.
Horrendous, horrendous mustache and beard situation on that guy. Yeah. He's got to pick a lane. Like, are you goatee or mustache? Don't do like half and half. Very, very uncomfortable to look at.
You have two stars in Pena and Alvarez who basically – the Astros are unanimously either dead last or bottom three across every single farm system ranking. If you trade those two alone, you catapult up to at least middle of the pack.
Oh yeah.
And then you're also going to get a nice return for a guy like Christian Walker.
I'll add another one into that, Pat. Hunter Brown, free agent before the 2029 season. So 27. So he's got 2.5 years to go. He's the same boat as Alvarez.
Hurt too. He's also hurt.
There you go.
Yeah. Forgot to mention him.
So, I mean, it's either you ride the sinking ship like the Angels do every year, and just don't trade the guys who should be moved. Or, you know, you just say, look, we don't have the talent coming up. We don't have the talent on the roster. We're not going to spend all the money, and you blow it up. If you trade those four guys and you get like legit prospect capital, you could be right back where they are, where they were 2 years ago in 2 to 3 years. Like that is the amount of prospect capital in Hall that they would get for even two. If you trade all four, you're talking about a top five farm system, and you have all of the money that you choose to spend at your expense. Like that is a full franchise reset, and it would be fast.
Quick, yeah.
Here's the thing, though, is that Jim Crane has been hesitant to do this in the past. Like they've had opportunities where this has looked like, yeah, it doesn't look like they've got another run in them. And he's kept pushing in. I mean, he added Carlos Correa and his salary in the middle of last season. Like they signed Josh Hader. They have not reset in times where they could have. They didn't trade Alex Bregman. I guess they traded Kyle Tucker, but they still tried to get MLB caliber pieces and compete.
Dude, their rebuild was hell. Like they had a brutal rebuild. Yeah.
One of the worst ones that worked, because it took a long time, and it was also just, I mean, it wasn't like, oh, we were a 500-ish team for 5 years and then we finally got back. They rebranded.
Yeah, 7 years. Wasn't it like a 7 year long rebuild? Because I remember talking about how it's never worth it to do a 7 year rebuild because that's so much time out of your life. And they had a whole rebrand visually too. They changed their logo, their colors. They changed leagues. They changed they had a big time makeover. So I think, maybe it is a bit scarring.
I think if you're the Astros, what you got to do is, because you don't need to trade everything to get the farm to a reasonable spot. But what you got to do is make sure that if you are keeping any of these guys, that you're not just losing them after 2 years.
Yeah.
Approach like Yordan Alvarez. I know that that's going to be the hotbed topic for guys that could get traded. And as a baseball podcaster and as a Red Sox fan, I would love to see this guy get traded. That said, if I'm the Astros, he's the last player I'm trading. He's the first player I'm building around. Like I'm throwing the bag at him, and I would sooner trade Hunter Brown. I'd sooner trade Jeremy Pena. I'd sooner trade anybody really other than Yordan Alvarez. This is a guy who can carry an offense by himself and can make it so any rebuild you undergo is not like it was before. And then when guys are ready, you can compete again because, hey, you've already got your number two or number three or wherever you want to hit him, and he's the best in the game.
Well, the other thing too with the Astros is like, the last rebuild that they went through, they have to at least, that has to be in the back of their head. Like that has to be a mistake that you learn from, because people, like I'm sure people are like, oh, like the scouting, whatever. They blew back to back number one picks. They took Mark Appel and Brady Aiken in the 2 years after they took Carlos Correa. If they hit on those picks, you're talking about a 3 or 4 year rebuild. That is what gets you to a 7 year rebuild. So do you take the chance and, you know, hope? And now that there wasn't even a lottery at that point. Now there's a lottery in the way the rules are implemented. Like you're kind of limited on the top picks that you can get. So there's a lot more hurdles to a rebuild at this point. If they just, you know, we don't want to do what we did the last time around. We want to get ahead of this. We want to put ourselves in a good position for this to be a quick turnaround. The best way to do it is to fire Sal.
It'll be interesting to watch. This deadline will be a biggie for them, and I'm curious to see, because they're going to have to sell, but it's are you selling guys
to what
like
degree?
Yeah. It's like, are you trading Isak Paredes or are you trading your literal core of your team?
Yeah, I agree with you, Gordo. They should build around you. I would add Pena to that too. Yordan and Pena. They should extend those guys, trade everyone else, do a quick rebuild, ensure them that they're going to spend money and try to win. And that's easier said than done, though. Sounds
Jeremy
good when you say it.
Jeremy Pena, they've tried to extend and has proven difficult, and he's a Boris guy now. I think
a Boris guy.
I think they tried to extend him. It failed, and then he hired Boris.
He did.
Who is Yordan's agent? MVP Sports Group. So, and he already got an extension at one point. So who knows?
And he's hitting the market again at like a prime age. He's a power hitter, DH at 31.
Pena, last year, 5.6 B war. hit 304, 840 OPS.
So good.
Good defense at short, 20 stolen bases. Dang, 30 doubles.
And he's yoked.
Yeah, and he's
He's a World Series MVP.
World Series MVP. And did he go to University of Maine? Yeah. University of Maine. Wild.
UMaine, and he's from Rhode Island, I believe, right?
He is, yeah. He's from Rhode Island.
Weird, yeah. So, yeah, Astros definitely a team to watch moving forward. Let's do our studs and duds before we get out of here. Sam, you want to give us your stud of the week?
Yeah, Kazuma Okamoto. Oh, my God. I love having this guy on my keeper fantasy team. He is on fire. Bit of a slow start out of the gate, but 5 home runs since the start of May. He's up to 10 in total as of Wednesday as we record. OPS up to 825. I think this guy might sniff that 30 home run territory in his quote-unquote rookie season here in Major League Baseball. So shout out to Okamoto. I love that he has the Blue Jays doing what are they called? Gratitude circles, where they stand in a circle before the game and talk about stuff that they're grateful for. So Kazuma Okamoto seems like a great guy in addition to being a very talented baseball player. So that is my stud of the week.
All right, Pat, who you got? Who's your stud of the week?
My stud of the week is none other than, I want to shine light on a team that we really don't talk about in baseball media in general. Doesn't really talk about much. If you are not in tune with what Mickey Moniak is doing in Colorado, it's time you tune in. Mickey Moniak, former top pick, obviously Phillies to the Angels, and then kind of wound up in Colorado. Had a really nice year. Had solid year last year, 24 home runs, 68 RBI, 270, 824 OPS. Really, really good year, first year Colorado. This year, 1.3 B-WAR already, 11 home runs, 21 RBI. He's hitting 333 with a 1.123 OPS. Strikeouts, 27. Walks, 7. He's only struck out 27 times in 111 at-bats, which decent clip, but it's not like he's this all or nothing hitter. He's hitting for average. He's hitting for power. He's playing decent outfield. He's doing everything like incredibly well in Colorado. And he's, it's so funny because the saga of Mickey Moniak, it feels like so long ago. They gave him that early extension and then he's flipped for whatever. I forget who he was traded for. But it was Moniak, and he winds up with the Angels. Fine there. That whole saga, this kid's still only 27 years old. It's not like he's 31 putting it together. This is a kid who's about to be at his prime, and he's finally getting his footing, and it's awesome to watch. He's been great in Colorado.
Crazy. I saw him hitting bombs. I had like these stats where it's like the Red Sox have only hit 6 homers in their last 18 games, and Mickey Moniak's hit, I think it was like 8 in that span. It's like, it's insane. And he's kept it up. So shout out to him. My stud of the week came off the IL a couple of weeks ago. He's played 11 games since, and he's hitting 122 with a 354 OPS. He's not my stud of the week because of the numbers. It is Royce Lewis. And I'm going to play this clip from the Twins broadcast, and that'll explain why he's my stud of the week.
Royce was signing autographs at Fan HQ in Minnetonka when he noticed a young fan in a wheelchair who kept getting cut in front of in line. Well, Royce wasn't okay with that, so he told the fan, whose name is Finn, to hang back after the event because he had something for him. Well, Royce spent some time talking with Finn and his dad and then took the Jordans off his own feet, signed them, and gave them to Finn, not even thinking twice about having to walk to his car and drive home in socks. Royce was...
So... Yeah, Royce Lewis, my stud of the week for that. I just think it's so cool when players, I mean, obviously baseball players, it's a grind getting through a 162-game season. They take a lot of time away from their families. They sacrifice a lot. But they're very privileged to have this lifestyle, to be paid the way they are, to be able to live the way they do, and have the attention that they do. And I love when players don't take it for granted and give back to the fans that love them and root for them and in some cases worship them. And Royce Lewis doing that for the kid that was getting cut in front of and couldn't get an autograph because he was in a wheelchair. Like, that's super cool. So shout out to him. That was a real good guy thing for Royce Lewis. That is why he's my stud of the week.
Good guy, Royce.
Good guy, Royce. All right. Duds of the week. Sammy, who you got for your dud of the week?
All right. Get comfy, boys, because I have, well, my dud is starting pitchers. And this is not all of them, but this is most of them. And the reason that starting pitchers are my dud of the week is because the amount of injured pitchers right now, May 6th, is completely insane. Listen to this list. Tarek Skubal, Garrett Crochet, Hunter Brown, Logan Rebb, Joe Ryan, Brandon Woodruff, Nick Pivetta, Yusei Kikuchi, Trevor Rogers, Cade Horton, Justin Steele, Kodai Senga, Blake Snell, Garrett Cole, Hunter Green, Bryce Miller, Jared Jones, Shane Bieber, Ryan Pepio, Nick Lodolo, Carlos Rodon, Spencer Schwellenbach, Corbin Burns, Joe Musgrove, Pablo Lopez. And Reese Olson, Jackson Jobe, Christian Javier, Tanner Houck, Grayson Rodriguez, Clark Schmidt, Jose Berrios, Justin Verlander, Tatsuya Imai, and also Cole Reagans, Ranger Suarez, and Tyler Glasnow. Those three might hit the IL. They're up in the air. Oh my God. This is unlike anything I've ever seen. That is a, and again, that is not all of the injured pitchers. Those are the ones that I thought were significant and worth mentioning. There are other ones, but it is not a good time to be a pitcher because you're probably in pain right now listening to this show. Welcome.
If you're looking for a reason to not give Tarek Skubal $400 million at several points in time in your 30s in a long-term contract, you're probably going to end up on that list of pitchers that Sammy's naming on this show.
Dude, I mean, the amount of guys I just named, it is absurd. When we were talking about Skubal a few minutes ago, I'm kind of like giggling in the back like, oh my God, wait until I get into this list of injured friggin' pitchers. Brutal right now.
All right, Pat, who's your dud of the week?
My dud of the week is basically anybody who played for Team USA in the WBC. So I'm going to go through a couple stats here. Matthew Boyd, Garrett Clevenger, Jeff Hoffman, Griffin Jacks, Brad Keller, all and Logan Webb. Every single one of those guys has an ERA hovering around 5 or higher. On top of that, as far as batters go, Cal Raleigh hitting 170. Gunnar Henderson, who looked awesome in the WBC, is hitting 201. Bobby Witt is not hitting home runs. Roman Anthony has a 675 OPS. Kyle Schwarber is hitting 200. Every single guy, and I'm not blaming the WBC. I am a huge fan of the WBC. I think it's a great tournament. But I mean, 60% of that roster is off to absolutely horrid starts. And that's not even counting Tarek Skubal, who's hurt. So, I mean, that's way too many guys on one team to kind of overlook the slow start.
I was going to say, I feel like it's at this point, because we were talking about it pretty early on about some of these guys getting off to poor some starts. Like, we saw the Paul Skeens first start of the season. It's like, oh, like WBC, huh? And it's, I mean, the fact that we're in May and you can still point to this parallel. I mean, it's not to say that, oh, get rid of the WBC or anything, but I do think teams are going to notice this. And next time it comes around, I don't want to see teams saying no to guys asking to play in the WBC, but they're going to remember this.
Yeah.
All right, my dud of the week. We weren't going to get through studs and duds of the week without talking about Framber Valdez. He's my stud of the week. Just kidding. He's my dud of the week. And it's not because he allowed 10 runs to the Red Sox, who not only can't hit, but really can't hit lefties. It's because of what happened after he allowed 10 runs to the Red Sox, who can't hit and can't hit lefties. Let's up back-to-back homers to Wilson Contreras and Willy Abreu. Next pitch throws a fastball right into Trevor Story's back. Trevor Story immediately knows it's intentional. The Red Sox dugout knows it's intentional. He'd thrown 2 four-seam fastballs in the last 2 years combined, and both of them hit batters square in the back. It was clear as day it was intentional. Everyone knew it was intentional. Framber Valdez got ejected, didn't argue the ejection. Maybe he was throwing at Trevor Story, not just because he was mad he was getting rocked, not just because he had figured out by that point that the Red Sox were reading the pitch grips out of his glove on second base and relaying them forward, which by the way is legal, and every team does it. It also could have been that he was upset that he was told he had to stay in the game for 10 runs. A lot of pitchers, you know, if you don't have it, you don't have it. But the Tigers had back-to-back bullpen games at that point. They needed their guy to eat innings. He took matters into his own hands, threw the ball into Trevor Story's back, got himself ejected. This was the quote from his manager, AJ Hinch, after the game. He was not happy with Framber. He said, quote, "We play a really good brand of baseball here. That didn't feel like it. I'm not judging intent, but I know when you go out there on the field in those confrontations, you usually feel like you're in the right, or like you're right. It didn't feel good being out there." So almost every single one of these scenarios, and obviously Framber Valdez denied intent, because if you admit intent, you're basically owning up to a suspension. You're not going to be able to appeal it, anything like that. Obviously, he wasn't going to admit anything. AJ Hinch, usually managers back their players up. I actually commend AJ Hinch for not backing his player up here, because what Framber Valdez did, as much as I love baseball being interesting, I love when dugouts clear, I love when the guys aren't buddy-buddy and go at each other, but if you're going to hit a guy basically because you're pissed off that you're getting rocked, that's weak as hell. And shout out to AJ Hinch for not just blindly having Framber Valdez's back. This is a guy who he has managed before, back with the Astros back in the late 20 teens. Now he's managing him again in Detroit. And yeah, basically said, I am not going to deal with this shit. I'm not going to tie myself to this. Like, I thought that was weak and I'm going to say it. So shout out to him. AJ Hinch could have been my stud of the week. Undeserved suspension. I learned today that that's a rule that if a pitcher gets suspended for intentionally throwing at a guy, the manager has to take a game too. But yeah, he could have been my stud of the week, but Framber Valdez certainly my dud of the week. That was weak sauce.
Weak sauce. Yeah, very soft. And then he hid behind his guys. Just, yeah, nobody likes Framber.
Tigers.
Tigers don't even like Framber. That's why you got a 3-year deal. Instead of
they paid it, yeah,
six, yeah, figure it
it's
out.
True, dude throws a ball at his own catcher's chest, which is, by the way, like this. If you want to judge intent from the jump, throwing the ball at your own catcher, purposely crossing him up so you'd hit your own catcher. I mean, that's why no one doubts from the jump that it was intentional. With other
he's
guys,
making progress though. I mean, he's making progress. He's hitting the other team instead of his own team now. So
yeah, it's fair.
There you go.
Give him credit.
Step in the right direction.
Stud of the week, Framber Valdez, for taking a step in the right direction.
Yes. Good job, Framber. But it's like, yeah, usually any of these pitchers, they hit a guy on purpose, and you can make the argument that it wasn't on purpose, and people will go to bat for him and say, no, it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't on purpose. And there's just no reasonable way you can do that for this guy.
No, so the only people going to bat for him for some reason was the Tigers broadcast. And I'm sure if they watch it back, they probably regret that. So we'll let it slide.
Great name, Andy Dierks. Bad take, Andy Dierks.
Beautiful.
All right, fellas. Good episode this week. That's going to do it for this edition of Bib Notes. It got pretty messy, but we cleaned ourselves up by the end. We'll be back again next week if you want to hear from us with Bradfo, with Baseball Isn't Boring. We will be on the radio Sunday, 10 a.m. on WEEI. If you're not in the Boston market, you can download the Odyssey app and hear us there. Remember to subscribe to Baseball Isn't Boring wherever you get your podcasts. Get your merch at bbisn'tboring.com. Subscribe to Play Tessie. That's where we do our Red Sox podcast. If you don't know us, go check it out. Multiple Red Sox podcasts every single week. You can find us on the socials. Catch sneak peeks of our clips and our interviews with players. If you like what you see, give us a listen. Also on YouTube. So that's going to be BB Isn't Boring wherever you get your podcasts and on the socials. That's going to be Play Tessie wherever you get your podcasts and on the socials. Till next week, for Sammy, for Pat, it is Gordo here. For Bib Notes, Baseball Isn't Boring, Baseball Isn't Play Tessie. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. T&Cs apply. In-app only.